This episode of Talking Backwards was recorded at the Kiana Lodge, where many scenes from the pilot episode of Twin Peaks were filmed. You can watch it exclusively on our Patreon page. Sign up today over at patreon.com/talkingbackwards. Thank you so much for your support, and we hope you enjoy this episode of Talking Backwards.
Hey! Welcome to Talking...
No, Dave's starting. Hot start.
Hot start?
Yep. Doing a hot start?
Doing it hot.
Doing a hot start?
Coming in hot.
I'm at the Kiana Lodge.
What?
Keanu.
We're doing it live. Welcome back to Talking Backwards, a Twin Peaks podcast. I'm Dave Jackson, joined by Patrick Mahan.
Hey, everybody.
And Tyler Mullins.
I'm doing the Leland.
Great for audio.
Catherine Martell Leland.
I am here.
Yeah.
Ready for this.
Again, you can only see what he just did on our video podcast, patreon.com.
$400 a month, and it is yours.
So worth it. Such a worthwhile investment.
This is, we are on location.
We are on location.
Can you guess?
If it's video, you don't really have to guess. If it's audio, you will have to guess. We are at the Kiana Lodge, also known as the Great Northern in the series. Absolutely beautiful place.
Also known as the Great Northern in the series Twin Peaks.
In the pilot, specifically. Yeah. Also Martell Manor. But yeah, and a perfect fit for this episode, given what happens towards the end, right out here, which we'll get to. But beautiful location. If you're looking to have a wedding in the Seattle area, please come to the Kiana Lodge. Thank you for your hospitality as well. Brittany, the manager here, just the nicest people that we've met on this trip so far. So thank you to the
Kiana
Lodge.
Or the Twin Peaks people?
Everyone.
Gotcha.
Yeah, as a whole. Everyone that we have met in the community.
Everyone that
we have
met in the community is nice so far.
Yeah.
And shout out to our patron, Evan, who's getting married here later this year, which is pretty
way
awesome.
Way to go,
Beautiful venue to have a wedding. Just absolutely gorgeous. So
definitely congratulations there. We're here for part 17.
I understand is the last episode in the series.
Some feel that way.
Understandably so.
Some do feel that way. It's also considered that part 17 and 18 are a two-part finale.
They did air that way.
It has two parts.
And it's extremely possible that we may reference 18 in this.
It's, yeah.
So if you have not seen 18, we would recommend actually seeing 18 before. Yeah.
If you haven't seen 18, what are you doing here?
You hadn't seen it until 2 days ago. Same with this part.
But I've seen it.
Yeah, and you did watch it together, same night.
So. I did.
Yeah. How it's meant to be seen, I think.
Yes.
Well, let's get rolling with some Pat stats.
Oh, let's do it.
Pat stats!
It's part 17 of Twin Peaks The Return, a.k.a. Season 3, Episode 17, a.k.a. The Past Dictates the Future from Twin Peaks The Limited Event Series.
And again, we're going to pick up pretty much where we left off in the last part. Still in Buckhorn, South Dakota. The Diane Tulp has been popped.
We need to celebrate with some wine. After what just happened, we need to go have a toast. Like, this is a totally normal thing.
Gordon's kind of kicking himself for not being able to pull the trigger.
Couldn't do it.
It's understandable.
Well, he's getting
James Hurley style. Can't do it.
Can't do it. Yeah.
Couldn't do it, Albert.
It's that classic conundrum where there's the two people that look like they're the same person, but like, you gotta shoot the real one. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, it's him.
Yeah.
No, he couldn't pull the trigger on his friend, even if it was a fake.
That's right. He's getting soft in his old age.
Not where it counts, buddy.
Incredible line.
It is incredible. Yeah, they toast to the Bureau, and
to the Bureau.
Kind of brush that situation off.
Yeah. Just so odd. I feel like I would not be ready to, I'd be ready to have a drink for sure, but, you know, just having a toast after this happens, I feel like it's such a...
We did it!
Yeah, we did it. Great. Congrats, everybody.
Objective accomplished.
Yeah.
Was that the objective? We don't even know what the objective was here. No,
she took care of herself.
It's an excuse to drink wine.
Yeah. It totally is.
Which, I don't need an excuse.
No.
And then... No. I guess with that out of the way, it's now finally time for Cole to drop some knowledge that he's been sitting on for 25
another
years.
Another info dump.
Yeah, another info dump.
Another classic info dump.
This would have been useful a long time ago, again.
Yeah.
And again, we've got Albert and Tammy here, who's been recently inducted into the Blue Rose community. Force. Yeah.
It's honorary. It doesn't mean anything.
BRTF.
BERT.
There's no reason for them to have not been privy to this information before.
Yeah.
So he says he's been keeping a secret for 25 years.
Why?
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 But it's that Briggs had come across an ancient entity called Zhao Day, which over time became Judy. So this is our Judy.
Zhao Day.
So that's her true name or original name, but it's been Anglo-Saxonized into Judy.
Judy. And we're not going to talk about Judy.
No.
Zhao Day, you mean Judy?
I dare not.
But we got to talk about Judy now.
Yeah.
So this is what everybody's been after, this thing.
Yeah.
Jeffries was on it. Cole was on it.
Yeah.
Briggs was on it.
Yeah.
They were all in communication.
Yeah, and he alludes to there being a plan that Cooper, Briggs, and Cole made that we never saw.
Mm-hmm.
And I have often wondered when exactly that was. I mean, it definitely could have happened off screen in the original mm-hmm. series, but I even wonder, could it have happened with Mr. C right before he went off the grid?
Well, there
I just, you know, I mean, it just, it makes you wonder when that took place.
Yeah, because when Jeffrey shows up in Fire Walk With Me, this is Cooper first meeting him.
Right.
So, yeah, when did this plan start?
Right, yeah.
So we know Mr. C is looking for Judy, but he didn't even know who Judy was.
Right. It has to be one of those two things. It either happened off screen, or it still happened off screen, but it took place after. I just mean off screen as in at the end of season two. Because
mm-hmm.
Cole was around at the end of season two.
So we do not know when they made this plan to find this Jowdy.
But that has been the plan.
Apparently
that has been the plan.
Yeah.
It's a lot of retconning.
It seems, too, that, you know, from what we've seen with Mr. C asking for who is Judy, that it seems like Coop, you know, real Coop, and Mr. C have the same goal. Mr. C is just much more evil at trying to go about mm-hmm. attaining this
much
goal.
Much more evil at it.
Yeah, much more evil at it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he's got that. He's looking for Judy. But, right. Yeah, but he's also just... piece of shit.
And you would think that Bob knows about Judy.
Right.
Being
the
offspring.
Well, he would know, but I mean, he wouldn't know. He still wouldn't know, I think, where to go or where to like.
Well, he
find.
Wouldn't know the name Judy.
Mm-hmm.
He would know Jade. Yeah.
Well, I guess.
He might not even know Jade. He might just know Mommy.
Yeah. Just like how Mike didn't know like where exactly Bob was, but he could feel that he was close. You know what I mean?
Mike was a sloppy character.
Mike confuses me. Philip Gerard, as he's credited in this entire series.
Who?
There's a whole side story of Philip Gerard walking into Glastonbury Grove on accident looking for something in the woods. And then whoops, I'm in here now. And now I'm going to help Cooper.
Yeah, now this is where I am.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and hold on to this ring, but not.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
I'm just going to kind of give it to whoever's convenient.
Yeah.
I've said it once, and I'll say it for a second time. This show is irresponsible.
So he gets this info dump about how they had this plan to get this Judy, and that Cooper, who was a part of it, had told Gordon, if I should disappear, do everything you can to find me.
Mm-hmm.
He did disappear.
Yes.
He's not doing a very good job of finding him.
Didn't do anything.
So they're trying to find him,
yeah.
And they've just about got him. Headley has actually found Dougie Jones's hospital room.
He's so excited.
But he's not there.
Maybe he's not there. We found him, but we didn't find him. No, you didn't.
We found him, but the thing is, he's not here.
The bed is empty.
So you didn't find him.
Is my watch stopped, or is this one of the Marx Brothers?
It's like he's trying to, you know, be like, oh, I found him. But actually, I didn't. Like, he's trying to sound... like he was successful, when he clearly was not.
Yeah, I don't know how he thought that was going to go.
I don't either. Just own up to it, man. Own up to your mistake. You didn't find him. They pulled in right when he was leaving. They just missed him.
I love how the Las Vegas branch of the FBI is just a total joke.
Yeah. This is what they do in the FBI.
Yes. Fuck up.
They try.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they've called Gordon Cole there, and Bedlin Bud comes in with his message.
Bedlin Bud, my grandpa.
Amazing.
And they're happy to hand off the phone when Gordon asks for the message.
I don't think they're happy to.
Well, yeah, he has to kind of try
to
they're
really a little resist. Reluctant.
Yeah, he's like, I want someone stealing my spotlight here.
Yeah.
But he hands it off, and Bud lets him know that he's going to be at the...
I don't understand the message.
Well, he said he was...
253.
It adds up to a perfect, yeah.
perfect 10, which is...
The number of completion.
Well, I know that, like...
The numbers add the up to add, 10.
Yeah, but, like, what's the significance?
Yeah, you're talking about him in the note saying, like, I'm going to Twin Peaks, or I'm going to the sheriff's station. It is 253, which is the number of completion. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that's just kind of a coded way of saying, like, this is the end of it.
Yeah.
Like, this is where it will come to a head.
Yeah. End game.
Yeah, this is the end game.
We're in the end game now.
Yeah.
Yeah, the completion.
Yeah.
Like, this is where it's going to... This is it.
This is it.
Yeah.
This is it.
Because 253 is also where the clock stops later in the sheriff's station. It's stuck on 253, which was also the clock that it was stuck on when Laura was in the classroom in Firewalk with Me. Exact same time. It's 253.
Whatever.
I've also never heard of 10 being the number of completion, so... This is a new one for me.
Yeah.
Maybe this all happens that same day in the later loops. It's that same day.
Right.
This is where my damn fine line comes in.
Yep.
Got Battling Bud telling Cole this information, and Cole's like,
"And what is your name, sir?"
Bushnell Mullins.
Lucky Seven Insurance. I'm its boss.
Thank you, Mr. Mullins. Thank you very much. And that makes two of us.
Damn fine.
I'm his boss.
It is perfect.
That makes two of us. That's my favorite because, yeah, it's Cooper's.
I'm
it's two
boss.
Of Cooper's bosses talking to each other.
Yeah.
So I love when he's like, that makes two of us to end the call.
It's
like,
so good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah.
So good.
I'm his boss.
It's so good. Damn fine.
Yeah. I like that Bud, like, tries to keep the phone away from Hedley, too.
Yeah.
Reaches back for
man,
it.
That is the
immediately
thing.
Don't like each other.
Just like, no.
Yeah, that
it's not even his phone.
Also, I have some beef.
Uh-oh.
I got beef. Hedley's talking on the phone like this.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And then he wants to talk to Battling Bud.
Who's holding then, a
yeah,
foot away from
Bud's
him.
Bud's immediately like, are you there? Mm-hmm. Is this agent? You know,
yeah.
It's not on speakerphone.
Right.
I feel like Cole talks loud enough.
Ooh. Yeah.
Then Hedley's hard of hearing as well.
Sure. Why not? All that screaming and banging he does.
Yeah. It's true.
I guess. That was my beef. It's small.
I get it.
It's a small beef, but...
It's
small beef,
like a filet medallion.
Yes.
I definitely did take note of that, too. And I was like, why is he holding it way down here when he could be just talking on the phone like a normal person?
Yeah.
So, I didn't get why... This happened the way it did, but when they start rattling off all the things, it's like, Dougie Jones took down an assailant, and he's been spotted with the Mitchum brothers and all this. Yeah. It's because Las Vegas FBI is sending them everything they've gotten on this Dougie Jones.
I love because you see all
it's
the
like if they're now just,
operating behind him, and there's, like, papers, like, going by. It's just interesting. It's like, man, what is all of this
Yeah, and Tammy is
on it.
Google.
Yeah, well,
Dougie well I assume
the
she's
first
reading
time.
Those papers
is,
that are being
is, yeah.
Screened.
I think they're coming up on her screen, too.
Yeah.
So she's just getting hit with another info dump on. They're just now getting the information that we know.
Right, and that makes a lot more sense than what it originally looked like, was that they just Googled Dougie Jones and was like, oh, here's everything on him.
Yeah.
But no, they're getting this information from the FBI.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Just now. So it's like, that makes a lot more sense than just like, why didn't you just do that before?
Yeah.
Dougie is Cooper?
What is he saying? How the hell is that? Or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's so good.
Dougie is Cooper?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're caught up to speed real fast on everything that Dougie Jones was up to. Or Cooper as we knew him since he came through the sockets. Back in jail, it's more of the same. Got Chad being annoyed by... Our Billy, who just keeps mocking him.
Our Billy.
Well, he was asleep, and then Chad stirs and starts fiddling with something, and this wakes him up.
Yeah.
Given
it's
more,
true story.
Yeah. Given more credence to the theory that he's just part of his imagination.
Mm-hmm.
But he also mocks...
He does. He mocks Freddy. That's the one hole in it. That's the only hole in it. That's the only time. But no one else acknowledges him. And he doesn't go up to the upstairs when Andy brings literally everyone up from the jail cell.
Well, it may not be his imagination, but he may just be only visible to Chad.
Right. That's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So he could be, you know, miming other people around. Maybe only Chad hears it.
That could be true. Because you never really get a clear picture of James or Freddie questioning him or looking at him, and no one's ever concerned about him when they go down there. No one's ever like, oh, this dude's bleeding from the mouth, shouldn't we help him? No one I could care less. Like, and you know, even when Andy and Lucy came down with Nido, it's like, you're not gonna
when they bring everybody up from the jail later,
he's not there.
Yeah, they don't do anything.
I wonder if it's like one of Chad's demons.
Right.
He's obviously just a terrible person.
Yeah, it's like his personal tormentor is this guy. Yeah. And, I mean, if we want to go off of, like, Billy being something from Audrey's dream, from her experience, then maybe it's just all part of that, whatever that, like, nightmare experience is. He's just leaked through and is just masticized to Chad to be his thing to drive him crazy.
Yeah.
But we also see Mr. C driving down the road, and this seems to stir Nido in her jail cell.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of gets her moving up. And then we finally get a little information on Jerry.
Yes. Yeah. Much needed.
Yep.
We come to the Great Northern.
We are. Great Northern.
Yep.
Ben's office. Here we are. So cool.
Yeah, we got a shot of Ben answering the phone, and the walls look very much like the wall we've got right here. It's pretty cool.
Pretty wild.
And I think the guy's calling from Wyoming. It's a Sergeant Williams, for sure. So William.
Mm-hmm.
William, probably. Maybe.
Sure.
What?
Maybe a double, maybe a triple.
Who?
Ben answers the phone, and they've found Jerry in Wyoming.
Which is so far.
Yep.
Like 200 miles away.
He wouldn't give them his name, but he said that Ben Horn was his brother, and apparently gave him the number for here. But
he could remember that.
He'll also need to send clothes because they found him completely naked.
Sure.
Yeah.
He killed someone with his binoculars.
He said his binoculars killed somebody.
Which is the best.
You can watch Ben's just like, ugh,
yeah.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
How long has he been
gone?
Tripping.
Days.
Been a while, but you never know. Time in Twin Peaks.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, this scene could very well not be taking place in the days that we've seen, you know. He could have been gone a day, for all we know, with the time that we've seen Jerry. So, who knows?
Yeah, this could have been immediately after Lightning Rock.
Lightning Rock. Oh, Lightning Rock.
Now, we follow up with Mr. C. He's finished his drive. He's out in the woods.
Yep.
This doesn't look like Jackrabbit's Palace.
It looks to me like the place where Nido was found behind the tree.
Nido's
of
portal.
Yeah. Oh, a little further past he is at a white hole puddle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a trap.
Absolutely it is.
Because
a little factoid.
Hmm?
White gold. Just nickel.
You got a nickel?
Anybody got a nickel?
Oh!
Tyler.
We did it.
Look at you.
Look at that.
We did it.
I
break the code, solve the code.
Love it.
I do too. I love it.
Dude. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is absolutely a trap.
It's a trap. I mean, you see him in a cage. It's a trap. They've got him. Mm-hmm. Like, the coordinates that they led him to.
Is that what was in the...
His face is in a cage.
I could not tell what was
in there. The cage
his face
cube,
is just blown up in a cage. Yeah. Just in a weird square. Briggs is here. His head's floating.
Yeah. Yeah, he's
thought he might say something.
He's been intercepted.
He goes to this
pond. There's the vortex, flashing lights, electricity. He gets sucked in.
Yeah. Is this something that happens
often?
Every time? Like, is this something we just haven't seen, but this is like the sorting mechanism for you enter the red room or something?
Who knows?
We haven't seen this before. Know, this is what we were calling the White Lodge
like
earlier.
Lodge, yeah.
Yeah, because this is the theater where the fireman came out and watched the replay of Part 8 in Part 8.
So it seems like his goal was to be placed in the Palmer House.
because that's what we see. And that would make sense if he's looking for Judy, in my opinion.
Yep. They're watching the Palmer House on the screen, and then they change that to the sheriff's station.
It puts a lot more stock in the theory that Sarah is possessed by Judy. Mm-hmm. So just roll with that just for now. Mm-hmm. At least that's what I'm going with. So they swipe like a phone.
They swipe right. Way,
and now you're just going to the parking lot of the sheriff's station.
Way. The picture goes this way.
Yeah, he's like, no, I need you to go here because this is where shit's about to go down.
Yeah, this is where we want you to be.
Yeah, an interesting thing too that we see it cut once or twice to just a side room of just a ton of those
teapots.
Yeah,
yeah,
tons
or the
of
kettles.
Them.
Yeah,
what is that about?
Well, they're all kind of lighting up like a power plant. It almost looks like
a switchboard almost.
Yeah. Like a switching board.
Like a switch, yeah.
For sure. Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. Well, because Jeffries is able to give people doors.
That's what
to
I'm saying. Like,
places.
This is the White Lodge, just this like sorting facility.
Yeah.
Because the way that happened, it reminded
Spirit
me.
Factory.
It reminded
Spirit
me of
Factory.
Like the North Pole and Polar Express, like how they sorted gifts, kind of. Or, you know. The Grinch, I don't know, something very specific. And so it just made me think.
It's very cool.
Is it suck them up here? Mm-hmm. But then this like arm for a record player touches the screen and then it starts, you know.
Jumping Man is the needle.
No, I love that. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of like gumball machine arms over towards the screen and drops him out right where they want him in the parking lot of the Twin Peaks Sheriff Station. Which, if you'll remember, Diane, before she got Tulpa popped, which started saying, I'm not me, I'm at the Sheriff Station.
Right.
Place of it. This is where things are.
Yeah.
This is where it's happening.
Yeah.
You remember that, Tyler?
When she popped?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't remember her saying that.
Because she kind of...
I remember her saying, I'm not me.
Starts saying, I'm not me, and then she kind of gets that look on her face like, I'm at the sheriff's station. We get to the Twin Peaks Sheriff's Station with Mr. C here, and Nido fully comes to, starts waking up, gets up, starts doing her...
Because he's close now.
Her kind of monkey sounds.
Her hooting.
The
Which she made.
Yeah, she actually made those noises.
That was the most remarkable part.
Yeah, seeing that behind-the-scenes footage of her actually physically making those noises was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love this scene. Andy seeing Cooper, like, he's just so excited.
He's very excited to see
Cooper. Doesn't
care
that he looks horrible.
Yeah.
Doesn't see those
dark
eyes.
I mean, it's been 25
years. I know, but he's just...
Maybe he's like, if I don't say anything about how leathery he looks, he won't say anything about my giant gut.
But yeah, he talked, you know, he's like, we're going to bring out some coffee, but, you know, Cooper doesn't.
I'm just going to take this picnic basket in.
Yeah. What are
we having a picnic?
Next day for a picnic? Yeah. Some cheese sandwiches?
Quarter just
for
cheese.
A picnic.
Ooh.
It is a nice day for a picnic.
It is. It's beautiful outside right now.
I'm James.
What an ass.
One that sounded just like him.
Yeah, it did. Very good impression.
I've been practicing.
Two, speaking of James, I think this is interesting too. We got back to the jail cells, and as Nido is kind of coming around and making her noises some more, her noises some more. This seems like the first time James and Freddy notice her.
I think they say, "What is that?" Like, because I thought there was a shot where when they first get put in the jail cell, it like pans over to her making noise, and they just go like, James says like, "What the hell?" or something, or like, "What is that?"
That sounds right.
Yeah. So they do acknowledge her there.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They say the exact same thing here.
Yeah. It's just again, because they're just, I think they're just,
maybe this is,
it is happening
same
again.
Same moment.
It is happening again.
Okay.
Well, they're just still questioning it, maybe. But no, you're right. Yeah. Like,
also, it's James. So.
Yeah. She's fully awake and apparently distracts everybody enough because now Billy's miming the sounds instead of Chad, who's getting into his boot.
His boot.
I'm like, why didn't you do this when you first got in here?
Right, and the miming seems to wear Billy out because he just passes out again into the bars.
Yeah.
Just,
that's why they didn't bring him out. He just passed out.
But then Chad, being the super shady, like at some point had this idea. It's like, I need a folding key in my swivel heel.
Wonder where he bought them from, Philip Gerard.
I was gonna say, I wonder where he got the idea to hide something in his shoes.
Ooh, yeah, not the first time.
Not the first time.
It's our second hidden item. They're probably Leo's. They probably, after statute of limitations ran out on the evidence, they sent him over to the Twin Peaks thrift store.
Yeah.
And Chad saw him like, oh, so, yeah.
Well, I could have use for here. A hollowed out heel.
Yeah.
I don't know when, I don't know why, but I'm going to need this.
That's right.
Yeah, he just keeps the skeleton key in his boot. But, yeah, Andy, again, just like so happy to bring Cooper in to see everybody. Comes in, says hi to Lucy, says hi to Sheriff Truman, but
God, I love that.
Obviously didn't expect him.
Lucy's so excited. Mm-hmm. Agent Cooper! Hello, Lucy.
Hello,
Lucy. Hello. Dude, they're all so good in this scene. I just love everything about this.
Because it's funny because he's like trying to smile. Yeah. Like Bob has never smiled.
Right. Yeah.
So he's trying Lucy. To like
yeah.
try it for the first mm-hmm.
time. Yeah, like I haven't smiled in years. Yeah. Hello, Lucy.
I didn't need to smile.
Yeah. Yeah, he does seem confused about Truman because he's just like, I never even knew you had a brother.
Sheriff Truman?
Yeah. Harry's brother.
Frank Truman, Harry's brother.
Yeah. So, yeah, so they go into his office and then Andy's ecstatic still.
Mm-hmm. But then I'm going to go tell Hawk you're here.
Yeah. But he's standing there
and then
remembers his meeting with the fireman. Remembers what he showed him of walking.
I was wondering what.
Yeah, he was standing like. There being weird because he started remembering, oh, this is what I'm supposed to remember.
Well, he's so excited. Then he asks Cooper if he wants a cup of coffee.
Oh, yeah.
He says, no, thank you.
Yeah, that's right.
Then he remembers the vision.
Yeah. I love that because Lucy's just staring. I'm like, Andy, thank you, okay? So, yeah, the vision of him walking Lucy to the entrance of Truman's office, still looking both ways.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this doesn't happen.
Next.
Yeah, I'm just saying him walking her to the station never happens. Happens in his vision, but it doesn't happen.
So actually got...
But she's wearing that same...
She's wearing the same thing, yeah.
I've got something for this, actually. Okay. So he walks her to the spot right outside the door in the vision.
Yeah.
Where
she's standing when she ends up shooting Mr. C.
Maybe he did that. Maybe that's why...
It's kind of like he guided her to be there for that moment. Because he doesn't say, like, hey, get in there and help. Yeah. He says, very important, very important.
Very important, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So I think that was kind of a subconscious placement.
We do see that he ends up being... He's
placement.
Down in the jail cell. Yeah, because he's in the jail cell when it happens, because he hears it and he looks up. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it's almost like him doing that with Lucy in the vision is something she sees and, like, is almost... puppeted over
there.
Like, not knowing why, but knows she needs to be there.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
It is cool.
It is.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's very cool.
So Slippery Chad's a sneaky snake. This key lets him out of the jail cell, gets him into the armory, gets a gun, and starts out. Andy's...
Come down.
Andy's come down. And
I guess to fulfill the...
I think he knew.
The
prophecy. I think he knew to go get... Freddy, at least, and Nido. I think he just knew.
Nido, Freddy, come with me.
James, just
what
stay.
About me?
what about me? Well,
fuck you, James. Nobody cares.
That's fun with Frank and Mr. C in the office. Cooper.
Yeah. In the flesh.
Cooper.
And that too.
He's two times.
Twice. Yeah, he does say it twice, yeah.
Because he's got this thing in his mind about two Coopers.
Yeah.
It's... Right after that is Andy running out.
Very important, important, very important. Love that scene because Lucy's just like, what?
Yeah, she's
so good.
It's like that's their code word for something.
Yeah.
Because she's just
clever.
Yeah.
Sits back down.
Very important, very important.
Well, right after that is Andy going downstairs and getting caught by Chad.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
At the jail cells.
Chad's so mean.
He's really mean.
Yeah.
But and before this, I think the scene while Chad was escaping.
Yeah, yeah. You said, couldn't Freddy just
like
open
punch the door?
Yeah, you did say that. You did, yeah.
You did say that. Yeah. So you called
this. In the live stream, yeah, you called that. Yeah,
yeah, the tension's building all around. Everybody's, you know, making their noises and kind of climbing the walls.
Because I remember saying, yeah, you'd think. I tried to just brush it off to make you stop thinking about it. Like, oh.
I personally remembered it as he like actually punched the door off the hinges and it like flattened him against the wall, but he just punches it open, which makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, it just hits him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just nails Chad with the door. It's great.
That was so that was a two birds, one stone moment.
It was.
It's a really great shot. Just and seeing Chad go down like a sack of potatoes is so good.
Oh yeah. But Andy on it with the handcuffs.
Yeah.
Just leaves him.
Just change him to the door. It's like, I'll leave you here.
You're fine. You're not gonna exist in like 10 minutes, so it's okay.
So, very cool scene there. Now we go back up to Truman and Cooper.
Yeah. This is the In the Flesh.
Yeah, In the Flesh.
In the Flesh.
In the Flesh. Ah, it's so good because it's Cooper, it's Kyle being Bob being Cooper.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
And it's the perfect layering,
yeah,
and it's so funny to watch. Yeah. Again, like I said earlier, with the smiling, like it's, Bob is just not a good actor.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, he wears it all on his sleeve.
Yeah.
I'm a bad person who does bad things, and I look like it.
I meant to mention, too, in the scene in the parking lot with Andy and Cooper, that was like the first, I believe from what I saw in the behind the scenes, that was the first day of Kyle on set. Was this. That was him being Mr. C, like, there, because there's a great shot of him walking up to David Lynch and hugging, like, he's seeing him for the first time in full Mr. C, you know? It's very cool. And it's just like, man, it's just still just so crazy to me, yeah, that this whole thing was shot like a movie out of order. Like, all the stuff from the end was shot in the first month, which is wild to me. But that was just, it's a really cool moment where it's like he's smiling and they hug, and it was his first day on set, was doing that thing in the sheriff station parking lot.
Sweet.
Very good. Things start to happen pretty quickly now.
Yeah.
You got Truman and Cooper sitting in here. Lucy gets a call.
Yeah, phone rings.
We don't know who it's from. Yeah. She answers the phone and is,
hello? It's so good. I love it because Cooper acts like, you know, time has pretty much stood still.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
is the coffee on?
Entering. He's so excited and
so good, like, yeah.
I don't know.
Everything about
weird.
Him, yeah, him passing the town sign, everything about all of that, him coming into town is just so cool. It's just like, all right, he's back. Like, here we go.
But it's immediately just,
yeah,
shot to hell.
Yeah. He's here.
No opportunity for joy at all.
Yeah. Yeah. No reunions. No going to the Double R for pie and coffee. No, nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. Well, he's coming back for business.
Just
like Mr. C says when he's sitting there.
Yeah.
Like, well, brings you back to Twin Peaks. Unfinished business.
Yeah.
Very sinister.
Very,
very dark, very cold.
Much. Yeah.
So Truman gets a phone transfer. They're back.
Yeah.
Better than ever.
Lucy's getting real good at it.
That's true.
Mr. Sheriff Truman, there's take this call for you. That's a blinking light.
Yeah. Take
at
a message,
she didn't
Lucy.
Tell him which phone she was transferring to.
It's a very important call.
Okay, Lucy.
It's Coop.
And does Boop know it's Coop because of the conversation they just had?
I think so, yeah, because it's...
He gives him the same response. Stuff.
Yeah, because he's like, Harry, it's Coop. Immediately, which I just love because he thinks it's Harry.
Yeah.
This is Frank Truman, Harry's brother.
Yeah.
Right then is when
Mr. C is
Mr.
Like,
C starts kind of going for the gun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they draw on each other. You hear gunshots.
Don't understand.
The hat?
What is happening?
How the hat flies up but remains on his head.
Or why.
Yeah, or why that happens. I don't know, but I love it. I love it. It's so goofy.
It's so like...
It's so goofy.
It's so like black and white...
Doesn't need to have
no audio cowboy movie.
God, I love it. Yeah. It's so
was
funny.
It Jasmine?
Yeah, that loved
who got like mad.
She didn't get mad. She just said,
like,
I loved it.
That's what you reacted to. Yeah. Not like, oh wow, Lucy shot him or like anything. It was just like,
his hat. What happened to his hat?
The hat is what you noticed?
What happened to his hat? Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it was very funny. But yeah, Lucy, what I love about this. What I really love about this, there's a great little parallel to the original season. Lucy saves Frank Truman from getting shot. Mm-hmm. Andy saves Harry Truman from getting shot, you know, when they get Jock.
Yeah. Right.
So I think that's a very cool thing, that it's both of them.
They've saved the Truman brothers.
Yeah, and it's the most unlikely, you know, you don't expect it to be Lucy. Those, just like you didn't expect it, because Andy couldn't even shoot a gun, and then he shot it, and that was a nice payoff to that moment.
And Lucy's never seen action.
Yeah, right. And the one of my favorite payoffs too in this season, just with her, because it's just like, why, like, she doesn't understand cell phones. What is all this about? And it leads to this, like, oh, I get it now. It led to this, her telling the two Coopers apart led to the moment of her understanding cell phones, which I just think is hilarious.
It's a great payoff.
It's fantastic.
Like, of all the little things that have never paid off,
right.
that thing
got a payoff. Yeah.
That came back and paid off is so
just like she was
satisfying.
Talking in the first part about, you know, there being two Trumans and all that, and just everything is just, I don't know, it's great.
Like, as a cohesive season, this gives more rewards than anything else Twin Peaks has had to offer so far.
Yeah.
And I think it's delightful.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cooper on the phone, like, I'm coming into Twin Peaks. Is the coffee on?
So good.
And then there's nothing but gunshots on the other side of the line.
Yeah. He's like, what was that? And he's like, don't touch that body. He knows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He knows exactly what's going on.
Enter Hawk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Andy's going to bring everybody upstairs, but this is Enter Hawk. Speaks for all of us.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Yeah, what the hell? It's so good. The delivery there is so good.
He walks in. He runs past Lucy. He looks. He sees she has a gun.
Yeah.
Looks at Coop.
Agent Cooper says, don't touch that body.
That is Cooper.
Yeah. That is Cooper.
And then,
no, it's not.
It's not. Which is such a great delivery.
It's a very Jack Nance delivery.
It is. It really is.
Yeah, very Pete Martell.
Is that a damn fine?
Not for me, no.
Is that a damn fine over there?
It probably is for me.
No, it's not.
That is Agent Cooper.
No. It's not.
Fine.
Because you know that Hawk knows this. He's already signaled about
he
that.
He was just reading
I know,
about
I'm
it
just
on
like,
his map.
I have a little, I don't know that I have full beef, but a little bit of beef there. It's just like, can you not put this together quicker?
You got a little filet medallion?
I got the same. I'm going to have some of that as well.
For this moment.
I got beef.
No, it's just like, but that is Cooper. I'm like, dude, think. Like, you've already talked about two Coopers this season.
But you haven't seen either
right.
one.
Right, no, I know. And I know it's a different thing to see it and all of that.
This Hawk's first time seeing him in 25 years. He might go, well, that's probably him, right? Yeah. I mean, I think it's a pretty human reaction.
Yeah.
If you come in and you see somebody you haven't seen in 25 years, you go,
are we human?
That's it.
Or are we told bones? I like that. That's pretty killer.
We get our reunion, but it is short-lived and it's not great.
No.
Cooper runs in, lights go out.
Love him running in. Yeah, Andy tells him where to go. Mm-hmm. The lights have already gotten dim. Woodsmen have run in.
I don't like how that affects the natural light. You know, just
the whole place.
Outdoor, you know, it was just tinted. Which we saw that same lighting or that same tint during the day. And I don't know if it was in an earlier part. I don't remember. Or maybe Fire Walk With Me. I can't remember. I don't remember. But it was the same kind of like weird, it's obviously not darkening. It's just
like
tinted.
A filter.
Yeah. And it's weird. It looks fine on the inside, but when you go outside, it's like very strange. I don't know. I just had a
little cinematography beef.
Yeah.
I got beef.
Which I know it's fine.
Thanks,
and
Peter
exactly
Dimmick.
What they wanted.
Right.
That was their decision.
Right.
But it just seemed, it was off-putting to my eyes.
Yeah. But yeah, the woodsmen run in and they're, because we've seen this before.
When we watched the live stream, I got it. That's fine. But when we watched that BTS,
the behind the scenes,
and they like walked out of the door, they like like waddled forever before they actually got to the body. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so weird.
Yeah, so more Part 8 callbacks because it's the same music. It's very, very slow and just disorienting. And
yeah.
Yeah, Coop comes in time just to see this.
He does
see this happening.
Yeah, they don't make any moves to keep it from happening. They just stand there and watch.
Mm-hmm.
The way monsters and Power Rangers would watch the Power Rangers transform and put their giant robot together.
We gotta wait.
It's like, all right, let's. I guess I'll wait for this to finish before we get started.
Yeah.
No, this.
Again, it puts everyone in a trance. Everyone's still. Like, yeah. Truman staring at, no one knows what to do. They're just Hawk staring at it, Truman staring at it.
Mm-hmm. Was it like?
It's like when Ray was just sitting there.
It's not like Frozen, is it?
No. I mean, they're not frozen, no.
Okay.
It could slow down, maybe.
Not that they're frozen, but like time itself.
But Cooper was all right. But obviously, he's touched the other side.
Right.
Yeah.
Also, I don't know if it would work if you just ran up and were just like, shoo, shoo, shoo. Would that run the woodsman off? Probably not.
Come on, get.
Go now, get.
And just like Part 8 2, something comes out of the stomach. Mm-hmm. It's a Bob ball.
It's a Bob ball.
This one's.
And Cooper already knows Freddy.
He knows Freddy.
Yeah.
We never saw this.
Are you Freddy?
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
This is my destiny.
This is my destiny.
Yeah. And the silliest boss fight.
So Freddy's fine during this, too.
It's like,
but again, he's, and I mean, maybe, I don't know, I mean, he's gone and visited the firemen, so I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know. This was still, obviously all this was part of the firemen's plan, but again, mm-hmm. we weren't shown or told anything of Cooper knowing about Freddy. He also didn't, I mean, we know he knows about his doppelganger, but I mean, he clearly seemed to know that. Or he did know that Mr. C was in there and shot because he's like, don't touch that body. So there's been a few instances of him, us not being shown what he knows. But
maybe the last
so
time, maybe the last time Laura whispered to him, it was, hey, yo, Freddy got that punch.
Yeah.
It's Freddy's destiny.
Freddy got that punch glove.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Well, she did have, the in her room in Firewalk With Me, her lamp is, looks like a green glove hand on the lamp in her room.
Sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, Laura knew.
Connections.
Yeah, this Bob ball's bouncing all around the room, knocking people down, hitting Freddy in the face.
Got a good volleyball game going.
Yeah, he's punching it back. He punches it around a little bit, punches it into a hole in the ground. The hole catches on fire.
Yeah. There's cream corn all around it and egg.
Which you can't even tell.
No, I saw it when I rewatched it.
Yeah.
Only there's one shot where you can kind of tell the coloring, but no. Yeah.
Only because we saw the behind-the-scenes footage, we see that the hole is covered in cream corn and egg and has been painted black.
As long as David Lynch knows it's there, he will not be happy if...
Just like the nicotine-stained curtains in Sarah Palmer's house.
Yeah.
Can't even see it.
Right.
But it's there.
Yeah.
Ball comes back out of the hole. Freddy punches it one more time.
Final boss.
This is my final form! Yeah. As Adam gives it one more good punch, and it explodes into pieces. This is seemingly the end of Bob. So I was my initial reaction to Freddy being the one to do this was a little harsh. I've really warmed up to the idea now that just this anybody kid who got selected to be a part of this gets this big moment. It's pretty Twin Peaks.
It's very Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
But I still got beef with it.
I got beef.
You got beef?
I got beef.
You beefing? What? Again, didn't care for Freddy when it happened. Because, what are you doing here? You don't even go here. This isn't like... We already have Nadine.
Who's this guy?
Why couldn't it have been Nadine?
That would have been
Why couldn't Chet Desmond come back? We've seen him box in Fire Walk With Me. It could have been so many other things.
Yeah.
I didn't need it to be Freddy. But I get it. A lot of people think it's the take on, the superhero movies, like just coming in, like, you know, one big punch or something. You know, it's just like just a Lynch's take on superhero movies. You know, just mm-hmm. you want your ending, you want your satisfying ending. Well, here it is, and it's silly as fuck. So, you know, it's not my favorite thing, but I do love that it is silly. It's mm-hmm. over the top. The whole scene looks bizarre.
Yes.
It's so just, what is going on? Not what I expected. I don't even know if I expected there to be a Mr. C. Coop sort of fight to the mm-hmm. death or something. I really didn't know. I mean, I figured there might be some sort of confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would have been interested to see what that might have looked like, but, you know, that's not what we got here.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get that showdown. Coop didn't arrive in time for that to happen. If he had arrived a few minutes sooner, maybe.
Yeah.
So yeah, with Freddy, it's like, could have been Nadine. Could have been Chet.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been James. Put the glove on James. James, go visit the fireman. Give James something to do.
James sucks.
So James, yeah, I mean, I still...
is a piece of
Freddy. Trash. Freddy wouldn't have been my number one choice, so... I know Nadine had her other story too, and
but if she came
Nadine,
in with that gold shovel,
dude, her gold shovel and just her strength,
maybe the shovel explodes when it hits the ball.
Dude, that would have been a home run. Hit
her swinging the gold shovel,
like just like breaking the bat across the ball.
Oh, it would have been
and the gold and the
chef's kiss,
gold and the orb, both are just exploding into slivers.
Would have been beautiful.
That would have been monumentous.
Yeah. So, what could have been?
What could have been?
What could have been? But this is what we have.
That's not what we get. Yeah. We get what we were given, and yeah. I don't hate it. I did hate it, but I don't hate it anymore because it's not like Bob isn't just Cooper's problem. Like he's mm-hmm. been Twin Peaks' problem,
right?
And the Lodge obviously has dominion in more than just Washington State.
Yeah,
since they pulled Freddie from London, they found this kid pure of heart who wanted to do good with his life. And like caught him in the right moment,
yeah.
Right as he was, you know, taking a turn in his personal philosophy.
Right,
it's a fine like story.
They plucked this kid, no. gave him something to do, and he did it well.
Right,
I think that's a success.
Definitely. Also, point out Tyler's enamel pin today for Mint Plus Plus, just because we've got Mr. C lying the same way that Mr. C laid, and when he gets shot at the end of season one.
Yes,
spoilers.
Whoa.
No, it's a great pin, and I think
if you're listening to this episode and you haven't,
I think it's appropriate for this episode.
It so is
Mint Plus Plus, you can get
it
your
is
one.
Appropriate. So,
right after that is when the rest of the FBI shows up.
FBI shows up. But Cooper's already talking to him, talking to everyone. I just don't remember exactly how that conversation starts after Bob's defeated.
Isn't that with
Bobby comes in?
Yeah.
So while the Bob fight is going on with Freddy, the Mitchums walk in too. Mm-hmm. Finally,
yeah.
They're just like, "What's going on here?"
Yeah. Like,
what the words out of my mouth?
Yeah. One for the grandkids.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no. Bradley or Rodney says that. Bradley says, "Yeah, took the fucking words right out of my mouth when Bobby comes in and goes, what's going on here? Bobby was late. Missed it."
And that, when Cooper says, like, Major Briggs knew exactly what's going on here.
Man, I love that so much. I just love this moment.
And so does Gordon Cole, who's right on time.
Right on time, and I love that, yeah.
This is so much like when he was gathering everybody together at the Roadhouse to say he knew who the killer was.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, everybody's here for this. Yeah, it's like
except
all
for
the
one. We're waiting on one person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who is it? More.
James?
No.
I'm talking about the first time.
Yeah, and they were waiting on
trailing
Briggs. Who was it that came in late? Oh, the waiter?
Yeah.
Yeah, the waiter.
Yeah, that's right.
Senor Drool Coop.
Senor Drool
Drool Coop.
As he's monologuing, as he's talking about everything here, his face is just superimposed over the whole screen.
Yeah. So when does that actually kick on?
It does start right when he says something, but I don't have it.
It's like right when Bobby shows up, I think.
Is it? Yeah, I think it is.
It's when he looks at Nido.
That's when it triggers it, yeah.
And he kind of gets a look on his face, and then the face superimposes.
Also funny that he like knew who Freddy was, but didn't know Nido right away. Like, obviously she's disguised.
Mm-hmm.
Which I got a lot of questions, and even with mentioning Major Briggs, like, I almost wonder if he had something to do with Naito being disguised, like he was hiding her. Because we do see him floating around the mob zone with Sam Blue Rose when she's around. Mm-hmm. It almost makes me wonder if the real Diane got, you know, snatched away, like, I don't know, put the, because I don't know, we don't have this story, but mm-hmm. I almost wondered if he was, like, keeping her safe.
Yeah.
You know.
It's possible.
Yeah. Just a...
That is my feeling on that. I feel like she was in disguise to be kept away from who would want her dead.
Right.
Like
Andy
said.
And he put the papers in the chair that led the sheriff's department to Naito. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of Briggs connections to her. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't shock me if that was...
It's like, if I disappear, then I need somebody to take care of her and keep her safe, I can't.
Yeah.
Also, the Bay Patrol comes in with a whole bunch of sandwiches.
Just a bunch of finger sandwiches.
It's a good thing we made so many sandwiches. Bay Patrol.
God, I love
Way to go, Candy.
I love Candy, yeah. My damn fine line in this moment, I don't know if it's exactly here, but it is Cooper. He's when he says, give my regards to Harry. I think it's when they're getting the room key and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's so great that he took the time to remember Harry and didn't just gloss over it. I mean, we did have the moment of him asking for Harry on the phone, but that's not all I wanted, you know? It's like, mm-hmm. I just thought it was very nice that he was just like, send my regards to Harry and took the mm-hmm. time to just acknowledge the friendship. I thought that was really cool.
It's very Cooper.
Yeah, it's kind of just a overlooked, it's just a small thing, but I really...
Frank, give my regards to Harry.
Sure will.
Be fine.
And you and Major Briggs told him about the key.
Right.
Yeah, not the fireman. So maybe he... I don't know, maybe Briggs has given him some, maybe he told him about Freddy. Who knows? There's just so much that we don't know.
Maybe Major Briggs was like a scout for the fireman. Maybe he found
Scoutmaster Briggs.
Yeah. Maybe he found Freddy and pitched to this kid for green glove.
It's very possible.
Yeah, this is when Naito starts to really flip out. And starts feeling around the air and mm-hmm. like she's looking for something. Mm-hmm. And Freddy kind of helps her over to Cooper. And they touch hands. And
yeah, they do.
This kind of triggers the reveal. So mm-hmm. Naito's face goes dark, then shows the red room, then turns into like a fleshy head, like the arms, which rips open in its really graphic way.
Also with Naito and the names, you know, whatever that was I sent you, it wasn't an exact like anagram, but like just the O and the E are switched. Like mm-hmm. it would spell Diane just without two letters. But it was said on the fandom, it named it something anagram, and I don't remember what it was. Hmm. I wish I'd wrote it in my notes. But yeah, so like Naito, D-I-A-N, just swap an O and an E.
Hmm.
Yeah. Clues were there.
Yep.
Even what she was wearing when they go to her apartment. That robe and everything. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just feel like there were just little hints, but nothing I was going to pick up, you know, ever, at all. Why would we ever assume that Naito was Diane?
Right. And we haven't seen anybody else, Tulpa-wise, that's been
a
completely different body.
Right.
So I like to think this is like this physical form being torn asunder.
Yeah. And of course, we're getting this reveal in the only way David Lynch can, with the weirdest visual. Just pop into the red room for a moment.
Yeah, this like gory, faceless head with an obsidian core. Yeah,
her face appears in it, of course. Of course, that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Then Diane with red hair shows up inside the black.
Yeah.
And now Naito is just Diane.
Welcome.
And Cooper is happy. Big smile.
Diane.
Well, he's seeing her for real.
Right, yeah.
Like this is what Diane did with her hair.
Yeah, yeah.
And Firewalk with Me.
I like what you did with your hair.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool.
Mm-hmm. So it's been red.
And they have a passionate kiss.
For a while.
Yeah. Everyone's watching.
It was steamy.
Steamy.
And again, Cooper's face is still superimposed on the scene.
He's just watching.
It's
all
not happening.
Yeah. It is happening.
It's not happening.
Again.
This is not happening.
We live inside a dream. Mm-hmm. Which we've heard in the show before. Philip Jeffries, Firewalk With Me.
A dream.
I don't have your number. That's still my favorite quote.
Yeah.
Very touching reunion. We notice that the clock has stopped.
Mm-hmm. 2:53.
2:53.
Time is standing still.
Also, side note, Frank Truman has not stood up from the desk the entire time.
No, he's chilling. He's posted up.
He is posted yeah. up.
That's because he shit his pants.
Could be.
Yeah, after we realize the clock has stopped, we get the, we live inside a dream. Says, I hope I get to see you all again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just kind of surveying the room.
Yeah. Except and, you, James.
Not worried about you, James.
No.
The lights go out.
Mm-hmm.
And much like in Firewalk With Me when Cooper's running into the room, Gordon?
Exactly the same.
Coop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Callbacks for sure to that scene.
God, so good.
Yep. Cooper's face is still superimposed.
Yeah, and he says it the same way. It's identical to me.
But that's when he goes and asks for the key.
It was before that, yeah, he asked for the key from Truman. He's, how'd you know about that?
Yeah, Briggs said you would have it.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Key to the Great
So
Northern.
Key just got back to him after all that time. Finally made it back.
But the key apparently isn't too.
Briggs knew he was going to lose it.
Yeah.
You're going to lose this coming back. Somehow knew Truman was going to have it, which is ridiculous.
Jade will get it back to you.
So, yeah, so it's dark, face still superimposed. Diane and Gordon and Coop somehow make it to the basement of the Great Northern, just almost like they've been teleported.
Mm-hmm. It's instantaneous.
Like. Yeah, very, very bizarre. So that's where they are now.
And dream logic, the key to his old room, opens the door where James found the humming.
Yeah, and dream logic just being transported from one place to another suddenly, too. It's very,
It's like, and it's only as they approach this door that the superimposed face fades away.
And yeah, it's the door we saw James check out for the noise, the basement of the Great Northern. So it's led there. Cooper, Gordon wishes him luck, I think.
Well, he says, I'm going through this door, don't follow me.
Don't follow me.
Don't.
So this time, don't follow me. Before, if I'm ever lost, find me. This time, don't even try.
Yeah, I'm going to get lost again.
Yeah. It's not going to work.
But it's just for me.
You're not even going to know who I am.
Yeah. But yeah, then he says, see you at the curtain call, which is apparently just to Diane, not Cole.
Right.
Yeah. This is the last we see of Gordon Cole in this season. It's right here.
Unfortunately.
Spoilers. Goes through the door. Phil's here.
Old Phil.
Big Phil in the basement, still hanging out in the basement. Not talking backwards in this scene, which I think is super interesting.
Oh, you mean Phil Gerard?
Yes. Phil
Gerard. Haven't made it to other Phil yet.
Yeah, we haven't made it to the other Phil. Yeah, Phil Gerard's here.
Yeah, we've got two Phillips.
Two Phillips, yeah.
She's had two visions.
I just think that's very interesting. He's not talking backwards. He recites the awesome Firewalk With Me poem. That's so cool. And then we kind of get back to the convenience store place or where we've seen Mr. C go a couple parts ago.
Yeah, the same walk down the hall.
Same walk down the hall. We go up the stairs. Jumping Man makes another appearance. So I'm like, well, Philip Jeffries is coming. Because the only time we ever see that guy.
He's the Herald.
Yeah, pretty much. He leads him.
Not the Harold Smith, the H-E-A-R-L.
I got you.
Harold.
Harold.
H-E-R-A-L-D.
Yes. Yeah. So, we're back to Jeffries in the percolator. And
there's a Jeff.
I got the vibe in some of the stuff that Jeffries says here that he was mixing up the conversation that he had with Mr. C.
Because
there's some things that he says that it's almost if he's answering Mr. C's questions and not what Cooper's...
Did you ask me this?
Yeah, exactly. He's like, here's where you'll find Judy. Then he's like, because he's like, where is Judy? Did you ask me this? You're confused, Philip. I know it's slippery in there, but you are confused.
Please.
You don't know what's going on.
Be specific.
Yeah, be specific.
February 23rd, 1989.
That's pretty specific.
Yeah.
I'll find it for you. Yeah. It's slippery in here.
Yeah.
that owl symbol comes out, the diamond with the antenna, or the ears, or the wings, whatever you want to, however you want to interpret it.
Yeah. Forms into an eight.
Yeah, the little arms come off of it and go above it, make two diamonds, that makes an eight.
A little ball appears on it and kind of moves around. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then
the eight spins, and the ball goes around to where it was before on the other side. Mm-hmm. Like you're on this side of reality. Mm-hmm. We're going to flip it, and we're putting the picture right back in the same spot, mm-hmm. but it's not the same thing.
Mm. It's backwards.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Mm-hmm. A backwards reality.
Yeah.
Is that this is where you'll find Judy.
Yeah.
We're on track, it seems like.
It seems like. Yeah. I like that he says, you know, you can go in. You can go in now. Because Lara says you can go out now to him in part mm-hmm. two. I think that's interesting. Just a nice little...
You can go in now.
Yeah. And she says you can go out now.
It's like, again, just looping.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Loop. In and out. Mm-hmm. In and out.
In through the outdoor. But he goes back to the woods where James is with Lara from Fire Walk With Me. Yeah.
He went through the darkness to get to future past.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Lara's
past new future.
Lara's dialogue here is confused and scattered, too. And it's kind of in a different context now. Because
mm-hmm.
it's like her...
You know, we're right back into Fire Walk With Me, this scene mm-hmm. with James. I love that we do get that shot of Leland looking out the window again. It's just a mm-hmm. great shot of him. But yeah, it's pretty much the same scene, exactly the same. Mm-hmm. It's just really interesting now because she sees him and screams. We do see her scream in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But now we know that, you know, it's just, it's really cool, I think.
Yeah.
It's really, really neat.
Again. As far as the like breadcrumbs that didn't pay off go, like dropping this in here to get that being why she screams is
it's very
satisfying.
Interesting.
It's good.
Yeah. And we know, I mean, she recognizes him just because, it's like, you know, we know that she's dreamed of him from Fire Walk With Me, too.
But she doesn't recognize him immediately.
Don't take the ring. Yeah.
After she leaves James and, you know, jumps off the bike and runs off, that's where Coop is able to intercept her.
Mm-hmm. Where James runs a red light.
Standing straight up on his bike. And
he waits for it to turn red. So I'm like, I'm a rebel. I'm so cool.
And punches off into the night with his feet straight out.
Yeah. Rocket blind into the mountain.
Rocket blind into the night. Yeah. That's it. Punch off the headlights, rocket blind into the night.
Yeah. God. What a turd.
So he zooms off, probably to die.
Yeah.
And then. Yeah, Cooper intercepts Lara. She recognizes him from a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And as he's walking her off, she's yanked away.
Disappeared.
She is disappeared.
This scene is so cool, especially with her, the Laura Palmer theme playing.
Laura Palmer!
Transitioning from black. This whole scene has been in black and white until he saves her mm-hmm. and it turns color. Which I was like, I don't know if there's more to any of the black and white stuff. Everything we've seen in black and white, it's like especially with part eight, we know is in the past. The only mm-hmm. thing that's black and white that we're not sure is the fireman stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it seemingly is, I mean, it makes sense if it's like the Black Lodge stuff that, you know, these places like White Lodge would transcend, you know, time.
Space and
time.
We know how,
it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's timeless, I guess. But this is very cool. Just very cool scene, but it cuts back. Okay, yeah, so he walks away with her because he's like, we're going home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why do you want to take her home, dude? Why do you want to go back there? So I don't know if there's a different name for home,
but
I have a thought that, you know, I'll just jump ahead quick. When she does get snatched away,
mm-hmm.
we hear the sounds that the fireman played Cooper in part one.
Mm-hmm.
She screams, she gets pulled away. It's exactly the same as part two.
Mm-hmm.
Which made me wonder if this was, because the way Cooper reacts to it is very, he's not shocked. He's mm-hmm. not sad, he's not happy. It's a very blank face. So I wonder if this was a part of the plan.
I think the White Lodge pulled her out.
Yeah, we see a shot of the, I can't remember if it's here or if it's in both with part 18, but you see the smoke around that area. So they're close by.
Mm-hmm.
It made me wonder if the giant took her away or
mm-hmm.
if it was another force. Judy took her away. We don't know, like, what took her away.
So what I was going to talk about earlier was I do think that it is the White Lodge spirits that have pulled her out of this situation. Almost like, Cooper, get her here, and we'll take it from there. Mm-hmm. Like they yanked her out, and they hid her in Carrie Page in Odessa. Mm-hmm. Until, you know, kind of to be like a sleeper agent. Mm. So that when it was time...
Yeah, to wake up.
To set off the bomb. Yeah.
The Sarah Palmer scene that takes place now, which is freaking frightening.
So
just,
good.
It's so good. And yeah, we...
This itself is a loop.
In my opinion, and this is just how I interpreted this, is that we're seeing this happen after Cooper saves Lara. She's in that, still in this other timeline, the unofficial version, mm-hmm. and she's possessed mm-hmm. by Judy. She's pissed because he's taken all of her paint, her Garmin Bozy away, her pain mm-hmm. and sorrow. She's pissed. She's stabbing that picture. It won't break. You know, it's like, I almost just got that was just like.
Not you lose, but you don't win.
Yeah, you don't win.
Yeah.
Just like.
Because you can't.
Yeah, like shit's on.
You can't win.
Yeah, you can't win in Twin
Peaks. You can't lose.
You can lose.
You just exist.
You just continue to lose.
Yeah, you just exist.
You just continue to lose. But yeah, like she just can't stand that all that pain and sorrow is gone. But this scene is
that was her honeypot.
Wild to me. Like just it goes on for so long with her like moaning and just mm-hmm. coming into the room is just so off-putting.
Yeah, it didn't make a lot of sense the first time I saw it, but like going back
of course
and
not.
With the thinking.
I mean, why would it?
Right, yeah.
You don't know. Like, you don't know what's going
with,
on.
With the thinking that Sarah is housing Judy.
Yeah.
Like, that she's driving that body. For her to, like, freak out, to put out all those painful groans and moans in human snarls.
And Sarah's middle name is Judith.
And her middle name is Judith. For her to come out and grab Lara's picture
Sarah
and just start assaulting it.
Right.
Jowdith.
It also makes sense with, like, Bob versus Judy. You know, if Bob was in Leland... For him to be poisoning that body to keep her incapacitated while he took
that
pain and sorrow for himself.
Hmm? But Bob didn't know it was Judy?
Well, probably because she was in disguise. And Judy probably didn't know that Leland was Bob.
But then why would he be poisoning her to get all the pain and sorrow for himself?
Bob was always going rogue. We've talked about
Bob's always going rogue.
Like, That becomes a whole nother...
He may, just off like the end not of even realizing that Judy was in there, but just doing that to keep that body from stopping him from doing what he wanted to do.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Like, as Lara's mother.
Right.
He's putting her down, and the happy accident byproduct of that was keeping Judy from getting
it
for herself.
Freebie.
Yeah. Yeah, like, so these forces have converged on this house. Like, everything's about this house. It's,
so the house is obviously, like, the central...
Yeah, it's...
Central location like, of pain and sorrow.
Yeah. Of,
this is
of these universes. Yeah.
Like, there's so much green corn here.
This would
there's
be
so much green corn in this house.
They are stocked full. The shelves are
what
stocked.
Is going on in this house?
What is going on in this house? Yeah, her saying that, Sarah in the original series, what is going on in this house? Like, it's just one of those rewatches where you're just like, oh, my God.
Like, it's this.
Yeah.
It's this little happy neighborhood house that is just the mecca.
It's all a facade.
Of all terrible things.
It's all a facade. Yeah. Cooper, leaves Lara, snatched away.
Mm-hmm.
He's...
We watch season one be rewritten.
Yeah. And oh, my God.
Yeah. We get the Lara's log.
Mm-hmm.
Right outside.
I guess
here.
We missed. I guess we kind of overlooked that a bit because that happens before the Sarah stuff. I know I jumped ahead with that kind of from what we were talking about.
Yeah, right.
The moment, that we, after he saves her, we're going home. He saves her. We cut right out here at the Keanu Lodge. Right by I see the water right here.
Right out the window.
Literally behind those two doors is the log, which is. Amazing to see.
Which I didn't know was a log until today.
Yeah.
Thought it was a rock.
This whole place is beautiful, but and just to have this location for this episode is so cool. So cool. We see her there washed up on the shore and we see it fade away. It's she doesn't die. She's
shame, Dave.
It kind of glitches out.
It glitches out.
Yeah.
And then just one of the coolest things, I just remember just the smile on my face, just, oh my gosh, why are we seeing Pete and Josie and Catherine. Like, what is going on?
Just going all the way back to the beginning.
Also, one more thing with Pete, while we're talking about Pete. This was in Lynch's book, Room to Dream. He mentions he had the green glove idea to be for Pete. Well, it came to him a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if that was going to be... obviously, Pete...
Then why didn't he introduce a character named Pete?
Well, that would have been cool. That would
have like a reincarnation...
Petey.
Lost son.
Petey. <Yeah. laughs>
Would have been cool. But that's a fun idea to think about, that Pete would have had a green glove and punched Bob. The visual of it is...
And this is my destiny.
Oh, my gosh. Dude. What could have been again? What could have been? In an alternate timeline, Pete Martell didn't die in the bank explosion.
Pete punches the Bob ball over to Nadine, who hits it with a shovel.
God. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that at least we didn't see it if he still did it. The lonesome foghorn blows.
Yeah.
That line didn't happen, but I also didn't hear it.
No.
I didn't hear it in this new universe.
Right, I didn't hear him say it, yeah.
The lonesome popcorn doesn't blow in the new universe.
It makes you wonder if whatever made him say that. Like
maybe that was the introduction of the weird sound in the Great Northern, was the foghorn in that timeline. And then, so that timeline has been altered, so that sound is no longer there.
Tyler!
Just stuff.
I love that.
Just
stuff.
That's
fantastic.
Oh, it's all good.
It's all good. No, that's
it's
so
all
cool.
Very good.
Pete goes fishing.
Pete gets
a
to
beautiful
go
moment.
Fishing.
How they did this, I'm not sure. But it's so beautifully done. Very cool. So happy for Pete, because I mean, in this timeline, I don't know. Makes you wonder what still would have happened with Pete and.
I mean,
you know, if they would have gone to the bank still with all the stuff going on with Andrew Packard. But yeah, it's just like, you know, maybe he, you know, maybe all the things, you know, all the nightmare that Cooper brought to Twin Peaks didn't happen.
It didn't. That was the darkest time.
Yeah, that was the darkest timeline. Yeah, the unofficial version.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Where Philip Gerard has one arm. Actually, Jeff Winger has one.
Actually, Tyler, it's all dark.
It's all dark.
It's all dark.
That's right.
I think we glanced over that. We see that Leo, Jacques, and Ronette never meet up with Laura in the woods.
Yeah, we didn't talk about them. Yeah, it was cool to see that.
So
too.
That gets changed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was cool to see
we
that.
We might talk about that tomorrow.
We might talk about that in part 8 too.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Who's to say?
Leo's here though.
Yeah. Where is it?
It's around. There he is.
There it is.
Pilot Leo. So R gets snatched away, Cooper's in the woods alone now, and Julie Cruz
plays us out.
There is apparently some drama here.
There's a little bit of, yeah,
some
a little
BTS
bit of drama.
Drama.
One cool thing to note before that, she is backed up by the Chromatics, which I think is very cool.
I was about to say, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, as soon as she starts singing, the credits roll. It's not a very long performance. She is singing "The World Spins," which we've heard in the show before, and my favorite scene at the end of "Lonely Souls" when she's singing at the Roadhouse at the same time when Maddie dies. Mm-hmm. Beautiful song. Would have liked to have seen more of it, and apparently she would have liked that as well. Apparently she was not happy. You know, well,
it's weird. That's weird that something like that would have happened.
Yeah.
Because I would assume David Lynch is just a huge Ju Crew fan.
Right, yeah. I mean, he wrote and produced her music and stuff. But we get the repeat in part 18 of her getting snatched away, which bugs me. Because you could have used this time. If so many fans look at this as like the ending of Twin Peaks, the fans that didn't like part 18, cut that scene out of her getting snatched away. Start part 18 with that new mystery, bam. Play more Julie Cruz for, you know, 30, 45 seconds. Mm-hmm. However, I just give her a little more time because I get why she was upset. You had most of the performances we saw a lot of.
Mm-hmm. It's probably Lynch's.
Rebecca Del Rio got 5
way
minutes.
To
six
further,
minutes.
Further piss you off. It's like when at the end of part 17, you're seeing Laura get ripped away. This is a timeline, obviously a new timeline. But then at the beginning of 18, you think it's just picking up where it left off, but it's probably just a different timeline that,
right?
Like, yeah. 17 isn't even a part of what's happening in 18.
Yeah. Like, I'm reminding you again.
And that the meta play.
No, not even like.
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah, not a reminder.
I know what you mean.
And it kind of even the meta play of like starting Julie Cruz and then immediately going to credits is again just giving you what you thought you wanted, but not the way you wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I wanted a Julie Cruz performance, and I wanted to see it, and I wanted more time with her.
The good news is, if you have the,
you have to take what you're given.
If you have the From Z to A box set, all of the Roadhouse performances are in their entirety without any credits in the songs.
Well, do we just want to go over final thoughts?
Go ahead.
Sure. So, I mean, like I said before, there's so much satisfying payoff in this episode. Not everything is exactly like, you know, a fan would have written it, but that's never
definitely
been what Twin Peaks is.
Yeah.
I definitely warmed up to the idea of Freddy a lot more. The way these events play out is good to me. I like it. I'll take it. And any beef I had, I have rescinded.
You.
Dave, you have beef.
I have beef.
Tyler?
I think I said in the live stream, like, this could be the ending.
Very much so.
Even with Laura getting ripped away, like, that's a good way to end it. You know, we all know there won't be another season, but, like, that would be a good way to end a season of a show, even if it's a limited event series such as this. I thought it was good. Definitely a lot of questions about like what's happening when, especially with Coop in the sheriff station, is that stuff happening with his face superimposed?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's just standing there, but all this other stuff is kind of happening in his head.
His mind palace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I liked it. I thought it was a good way to get close to the ending, if not be the end itself.
Yeah, you definitely get closure for things here,
yeah,
which is unusual. I mean, it's a fun episode. It's a wild ride. You know, just everything from all of the stuff at the sheriff station. I think the build of all of that stuff, just Coop arriving, getting everybody up from the jail cell is just... it's wild. It's the whole, that whole thing is crazy. Yeah, the Bob death scene is goofy. But yeah, it's nothing that's so unusual that I'm like, why would Twin Peaks do this? It's anything that happens on here and the way it looks, I will never mock, because it's just, this is Twin Peaks.
Like, yeah.
Come on.
Like, that just, that is the aesthetic.
Yeah. Freddy's not my number one choice. I've said that beef. But it's still ridiculous and fun.
It's pretty absurd.
I can let it slide. He just wouldn't have been my number one pick.
Right.
But the Fire Walk With Me stuff, revisiting the pilot, is just so major, so fun, and ridiculous. I just was not expecting this separate timeline that everything about that last, like, 20 minutes, half hour, whatever, once, you know, Cooper goes back, is just so fun to watch. And Laura getting saved? I don't know. We'll see.
Saved question mark?
Question mark? Everything's a question mark.
Yeah.
But yeah. And the wild Sarah Palmer scene. It's, everything stands out. It's all memorable. It's all great. I love it. But wouldn't be Twin Peaks without some questions. You guys ready?
Sure.
When solving mysteries.
Where did Lucy get her gun?
Gun, emergency gun, right?
Thigh holster.
Keep it. Where you would typically put a derringer.
Yes.
She's got a full-on six-shooter.
How did Cooper, Gordon, and Diane transport from the sheriff's station to the Great Northern?
Through the door. Oh, I see.
Through that door.
I never even considered that.
Mind highway?
mind highway.
When they were walking, like, kind of walking in the dark.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Was Coop's face still superimposed?
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they walked through his
first.
Face.
Yeah.
So that's not something that happened.
Yeah, it didn't happen. Okay. They didn't, is the answer.
Where was Cooper taking Laura before she was snatched away?
The White Lodge. Or the thing, wherever she was born. Her home.
That home. Thank you.
Yeah.
To get a chocolate malted. I want a milkshake.
I offered you one for breakfast.
Unsolved mysteries.
So as 17 and 18 were considered a two-part finale, we're going to substitute the Reddit room for some listener responses that we got in that we'll cover in our Part 18 episode. So I guess there's not much to do other than rank this episode on a scale of 1 to 5 James Hurley foreheads in a segment we call Talking Foreheads.
Talking Foreheads.
5.
Just 5.
It's 5?
Yeah.
Just 5.
I'm going to give it.
It's my fifth in a row. It was a 5.
You want to go on 3?
We both go on 3? Time. Same time?
No, we're going to get a double shooter here?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3.
4.
4.5. Four and a half.
Just four.
You let me down, Dave.
Sorry. I undershot.
That's cool. Yeah, it's 4.5 for me. Because I like that it could be a finale. Mm. But still, it doesn't answer everything. Give it a 4.
I gave it a 4.
Okay.
Talking Foreheads.
And it's guaranteed that there's stuff that we missed. So reach out to us at talkingbackwardspod@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram at talkingbackwardspod. Patrick?
Hey, you can find us over on Twitter at talkingbackward.
Tyler?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hotel Hell. I am the devil of eggs, a.k.a. the egg deviler. I hope you all enjoyed that episode of Talking Backwards as much as I did. What an honor it was to sit down and devil some eggs with those other two guys whose names escape me at the moment at the beautiful Great Northern Hotel in the beautiful state of mind that is Twin Peaks. Anyways, enough about that. We all know the only reason you're still listening is to hear some super badass rad shoutouts. So let's get to it. First up on the list, we have the wonderful and elegant Edith DeLorca. Wow, thank you so much for the support, Edith. You are pure of heart, and that has earned you this shout-out along with a bonus year supply of deviled eggs. I just deviled up a batch for you, and they should arrive at your doorstep in the next 3 to 5 weeks, fully fermented and ready to eat. Enjoy! Next up on the list, we have Julian Lowe, heir to the Lowe's Home Improvement Empire. Thank you so much for the support, Julian. I frequent your stores all the time. I really appreciate how you keep the batteries close to the register. Although, I was talking to my work associate slash co-owner of the Hotel Hell, and he did feel that with pockets as deep as yours, you could have dug a little deeper with your support, especially with the prices of lumber skyrocketing the way they are. Nevertheless, thank you for your support. Every little bit helps. Well, I hate to break it to you folks, but we only have one more shout out left in this episode. This person, being the saint that they are, decided to join on my birthday, and it was probably the greatest gift I could have received. Ladies, gentlemen, and non-binaries, please join me in giving a huge shout out to the artist formerly known as Blake. Hey, Blake! Thanks. Well, that's all the time we have for shoutouts on this episode of Talking Backwards. If you or anyone you know would like their very own shoutout, then please head on over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/talkingbackwards.
Anchor.fm/talkingbackwards
and patreon.com/talkingbackwards if you'd like to support the show and keep us running. We literally would not be able to be here in the Kiana Lodge
right.
today if it weren't for our Patreon supporters. So thank you very much for being a supporter if you are, and if you aren't, consider it.
Yeah.
But still enjoy our live feed, or our free feed, rather. And be sure to join us next time for part 18, the season finale of The Return.
If you like what you hear and you listen on Apple Podcasts, 5-star reviews help tremendously. Consider it.
They do. I've given us several.
Every time I log on, 5 stars.
5 stars.
And I have appreciated it.
The chewing, 5 stars.
Yeah. We'll see you next time for the season finale of The Return. Thank you for listening to Talking Backwards.
See you all next time.
We did it!
We did it!
We did it!